Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The voice that you are hearing is the voice of a man who is trying not to act like a teenager at a 1957 Elvis concert. This is Wretched Radio joining us live and in person. This is not a charade, no shenanigans. The one, the only, Dr. John MacArthur, and I'm just plain giddy. Hello, Dr. MacArthur. I can't even believe you're on the program.
Hey, Todd. I'm so glad to be with you. It's always a pleasure to see you, even if it's on Skype. I love it.
I thought for sure you were going to say, I'm surprised I'm on too, but I'm glad that you were kind.
No, you need all the help you can. You need all the help and support you can get, and I'm here for that reason.
Thank you. That's the importance of the body right there. Dr. MacArthur, I want to talk to you about two subjects today, and they are interrelated. I want to talk to you about contemporary preaching and what we tend to hear out of, let's just say, too many pulpits these days. And the importance of training men to be expositors as they are doing at the Master's Academy International overseas. Master's Academy International, if somebody said to you, explain that to me in 30 seconds, how would you respond?
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon I started getting invitations from places all around the world to go and to preach there. And people said, we haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how? I would go back and I would teach. I would send other guys from Grace Church and they would teach. And eventually they would say, can you stay and start a school and train our pastors? At every one of those points, it was an invitation from the church in that country. We didn't have a strategy. We just went when we were called. And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places on the planet where the graduates of the Master's Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world. And it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
That is exactly what I'm looking at. I've got all the statistics in front of me. It's actually staggering what's going on. These are centers, if you will, in 16 different countries. Master's Seminary grads who have learned how to rightly divide the word are teaching indigenous ministers to do likewise. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this with you is because I see this as a really important ministry for staving off the spread of so much wacky Christianity overseas. I think this is the antidote that's needed. Pastors who know how to preach right.
Yeah, and the reason that I mentioned the number in the 30s rather than 16 is because some of these 16 are operating in multiple countries and in multiple cities.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We've got 16 schools, 5,300 graduates, 2,300 current students. This is just staggering. 11,900 church leaders attended 48 conferences hosted by the Master's Academy in 2017. So this is just a massive work that is going on that you're associated with. And I would like for you, if you'd be so kind, to join me in encouraging people to support this ministry, because the more pastors we can train in the fields, the more churches are going to flourish.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to pastors like shepherd, like people, as Hosea says. People aren't going to rise higher than their pastor. They're not going to go beyond what they've been taught and what's been modeled of sound doctrine and godly living. So this is the answer to everything. It's all about leadership all over the world. This is in my mind, the great untold missionary story around the globe. It's multiplication at the highest level, training pastors. They are the multipliers of the church around the world. And the thing that's so wonderful about it is the consistency, because all of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they're all out of the seminary. So they all come from the Master's Seminary, essentially. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this that is just really penetrating. The second thing that's so amazing about it is we are only where we've been invited to come. We're only there because the indigenous church leaders have said, we need this training. Come and help us. That's kind of our Macedonian call. The guys know what to do. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church, and they capture that. They take that out, and in various formats around the globe, they train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately, to interpret it correctly, and to demonstrate the theological implications of that interpretation, which then drives in the direction of application. And the idea, of course, is it's creating more powerful, effective churches, and the church is God's instrument in the world.
Amen. If you would like to support the Master's Academy International, I encourage you to visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. You could be supporting the training of a pastor. You can even pick the country that you'd like, and your support will be used to reach many because of its efficiency. wretched.org/pastor. Now, with that in mind, Dr. MacArthur, I suspect you're going to wish that you had spent more time talking about the Master's Academy as opposed to what we're about to do right now.
Come on down!
Are you prepared to play one of America's fastest-growing game sensations, Dr. MacArthur?
Whatever you've got, throw it at me.
We'd like to share with you a sermon. We'll just leave the fellow unnamed. I'm going to play clips from this guy. We're going to play the sermon, and when you can take it no more, I want you to simply say stop, and then I'll stop the video and you can comment. Are you ready to play stop, sir?
I'm ready.
Here we go. I don't think you're going to make it for many seconds.
Somebody sent us an Amazon Echo recently. It's voice activated because sometimes you can't be bothered to have to use your thumbs. So I like Alexa. That's her name, Alexa. I have a relationship with Alexa where I say her name. I say Alexa, and she lights up, kind of like Holly.
That's enough.
That is like 11 seconds longer than I thought you'd endure.
No, well, that's about all that I can possibly take.
Of course. All right, what was going on with what you just heard?
Certainly nothing biblical, nothing spiritual, just the musings and ramblings of somebody, you know, pulling up his own ideas and thoughts and trying to stimulate an audience by a combination of a sort of authority, personality, entertainment. There's nothing there really of any spiritual nature.
You know, with the jokes and what have you, it's like it's a stand-up comedy routine. Make the distinction for us. Now, Dr. MacArthur, I have heard you in the pulpit say things that have caused the congregation to laugh. What's the difference between that and what we just heard?
Well, you know, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine, and laughter is a gift from God. It's very often a release of our joy. Our people at Grace Church laugh really easily. They laugh readily, and I think there's a spontaneity to that kind of humor, that you're not telling a joke, you're not setting them up with that, but there are things that draw laughter out of the hearts of people legitimately. Because there's a kind of bubbling joy that's near the surface, and sometimes it doesn't take very much when you open up a little window and that joy bubbles out. So I would think that any faithful preacher handling the Word of God and preaching the range of all that God has given us is going to come to things that are joyful things. And whether you have a joyful people, a trusting people, a secure people, a confident people, joy is right on the surface. And giving them an opportunity to express that joy in a simple expression that may draw out laughter is just part of the range of human emotions that Christians should experience. It's not something you induce. It's just there, and it comes very easily from hearts of people that are filled with joy.
Yeah, this was scripted and rehearsed and prepared and timed. Now, Dr. MacArthur, my next question for you is this. Do you want me to push the button so you can hear more of this or not?
Well, I can't understand what reason there would be for doing that.
Well,
do I need a root canal without an anesthetic?
Thank you for preaching faithfully. For how many years have you been doing this?
I'm in my 50th year at Grace Church. Next year, February 9th, I think, will mark the 50th year at Grace Church. And I was preaching for a few years before that, so a half a century anyway.
So you've been at it for a while faithfully, and I'm just going to sneak this in and then mute so you don't have to say anything back. Quite honestly, I used to think you were good. You just keep getting better and better and better, if that were possible. Dr. John MacArthur, thank you for your time, inviting you to join Dr. MacArthur and me and Mrs. Friel, supporting the Masters Academy International. Please consider doing that. Check it out. Learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. This is Wretched Radio. And now, a word from Paul Washer.
If you offer me 1,000 partially trained men who, according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, do not really qualify for the eldership, or you give me the option of one church planter that meets the requirements of 1 Timothy 3 and is trained theologically, he is trained with regard to the exposition of Scripture, I will take that one man over 1,000.
If you feel the same way, would you please visit wretched.org/pastor to learn more about the Masters Academy International, 17 countries, Master's Seminary graduates, training indigenous pastors to be theologians. Small investment, massive impact. Would you please visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you could spend part of it with us here at Wretched Radio. Hey, you know, it's not too late to join the throngs of wretches, and they are throngs. We measure them. It goes in groups, in herds, and in throngs. Throngs of wretches in taking the Big Toe Challenge. It's a rather nifty way to share the gospel that is no longer terrifying. Matter of fact, it's pretty easy. You go to wretched.org. You pick up copies of our gospel booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe. We suggest 12 or 52 that we can pass them out either once a week or once a month, and then you pass them out, hand them to people, or leave in places, and you're done. Easy peasy. Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So, have yourself some beautiful feet. Go to wretched.org, grab your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe, and join us for the Big Toe Challenge. Evangelism doesn't need to be terrifying anymore. Not with the Big Toe Challenge. Details at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Another amazing story from Eastern Europe, Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her. But, you know, she'd come, and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them, and they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The highest quality produced program on this station at this time. This is Wretched Radio. I was going through the text machine during the break, and I stumbled across something I recorded just last night. Mrs. Friel put on the news. She's want to do that. I'm wanting her to not do that. It's something that we're working through after 28 years. But this story, I believe it was in, not Charleston, Charlottesville, perhaps. And I don't know the details, but somebody got shot. 6 people were wounded. More chaos. And I actually rewound the news story to grab the video that I'm about to play off of my cell phone into the microphone. This is Sheriff Kenny Boone, Florence County, South Carolina. See if you can hear. Joey, which one's the speaker on this? The one on the top, right?
Probably not.
What can go wrong with this?
No, well, sure it would.
Look on the bottom right.
I can play the deal, but where does the sound come out of the doohickey?
That's what I'm saying, is look on the bottom right.
Let's give it a go. Tell me. I'll turn this up. You tell me if you can hear. Here we go.
His families of these officers. Dear prayer, please lift them up.
Did you catch that?
Barely.
Please lift them up in your prayers. You don't get that kind of talk above the Mason-Dixon line. Let me share another one. This is Chief Alan Heidler, Florence Police. Let's see if this volume is a little better.
Of every human being who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray for these officers.
Wow. Did you catch that? Of every human being who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for these officers. And he's got his head bowed. Both men very moved. Am I shocked that somebody in the Bible Belt would say that? No, I'm not. Am I shocked that somebody in a position of authority does? Yeah! Am I doubly shocked that the news would actually put it in there? Everybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, pray. That they chose to put that in. I get it. The Bible Belt, well, the buckle, it's a little flimsy. It's not like the Geico Belt these days. It's kind of shriveled, shrunk, and a little dilapidated. But I got to tell you, you're feeling still in the South vestiges of Christianity. Look, if I had to choose the climate that I had to live in, I'll take this. As opposed to, we don't ever talk like that. We don't bow our heads in public. You know, basically, like, Minnesota is what I'm trying to say here. You would never hear that ever in Minnesota. And this happens regularly here, but I'm not so sure how long it's going to last. Let me take you back, if and you don't mind, to Great Britain. You can hear that, can't you?
Huh?
Look, I can't hear so goodly today. I've got the air conditioner on. Something went kafritz in the building, so I've got this little... Maybe you can hear it. Once again, you're listening to the highest quality Christian program on this station at this time. If you're hearing a dull roar, it's because I didn't have an IV and a salt lick to get through the program. So I had to turn on the AC, okay?
No saline drip?
You know, talk show hosts, if you cut them, they bleed too, you know. Let's go to specifically Scotland from theweflea.com. Theweflea.com. many people have observed that Europe is ahead. And when I say ahead, is actually behind America when it comes to where they're at in culture, morality, values. Because Europe as a whole, thanks in no small part to the Anglican Communion, has abandoned its Christian heritage. You are seeing results and consequences. Worldviews have those, you know. And Europe is ahead in that regard to America. So, American, listen up. We should all be aware of this. And this should cause us, can we be concerned? Sure, if we're not anxious, faithlessly worrying. But I think this should cause us to get off the dime and get on it and start witnessing to people. I'm not a prophet. Sorry, Matt. Don't have that gift of any kind like that. Unless, of course, by prophet you mean proclaiming truth. All for that type of prophecy. I can't predict the future, but it doesn't look good. What are we seeing in America with so much of what is going on? In the Brett Kavanaugh thing, innocent, guilty, whatever. It's chaos. I think the video that I mentioned just a few moments ago about a rape culture. Okay, is there, isn't there? I'm not so sure, but I do know this. I do see that that is what the debate that's going on campus with the word consent is the fruit of a secular human worldview. And it is thoroughly in place in the university system and has been for decades now. We used to have a word called consent. It was actually two words. I do. And that was giving consent. We can be intimate together. Well, because Title IX, among other things, radical feminism, among other things, and because there are some louts on campuses who do wicked things, the idea was, how do we get the kids to not cross the line? Well, what is the line? You have to give consent. And so if a guy gets a green light, he goes. He gets his second green light, he goes. He gets to the third light, and it turns red. He's guilty of sexual assault because he attempted to go to the red light because consent was not given. Now, do I think that that needs to be dealt with? Yes. But do I think that we can come up with rules that are going to keep kids from sinning against one another? No, I don't. This is, look, everybody's talking about the drink culture because Brett Kavanaugh, did he drink a lot of beer? What happened on the, all of that stuff? There's a solution to these problems. It's called Christianity. Instead, what we're seeing is more legislation from university campuses, more Title IX, more government programs, more definitions, more punishments for the wrong kind of behavior because there's no internal police mechanism. There is an external police mechanism. And we're going to see that more and more. And it'll just get messier and messier because you can't do that unless, of course, you become totalitarian, which I think will be the next step. The signs are everywhere of deteriorating cultures and animosity toward Christians who have the courage to speak up and go, no, uh-uh. From Scotland, I'm going to read a sign to you, and then you're going to guess who posted this sign. Dear bigots.
Oh, okay, that man. Nails it down.
By the way, this is intended to get rid of hate speech. Dear bigots. You can't spread your religious hate here. End of sermon. Yours, comma, Scotland. Hate crime. Report it to stop it. Here's another one. Dear transphobes, do you think it's right to harass people in the street? Right to push transgender people around in clubs? Right to humiliate, intimidate, and threaten them online? Well, we don't. That's why if we see you doing harm, we're reporting you. We believe people should be allowed to be themselves, except if they're spreading hate. Well, that's clear. You've got liberty, unless we don't agree with that action, then you don't. You've got freedom of speech, except on that issue, then you don't. Dear homophobes, we have a phobia of your behavior. If you torment people because of who they love, shout words that we're not going to write, or use violence because you don't like who someone is holding hands with, you should be worried. If we see or hear your abuse, we're calling the police. That's because love lives in this country. Not hate, bigot, transphobe. Yours, Scotland. Want to know who posted that?
Scotland?
Take a guess. Well, a little more specifically, a department of Scotland.
Tourism ministry?
No, sir.
Mm-mm. Oh, that would have been better.
Loch Ness Monster Fan Club?
How's about the police? That's right. I'm looking at the police of Scotland. I think the Better Business Bureau is in there and Safer Scotland. They're printing these up and warning you. Christian, zip it. What's next? I don't know. Let's ask some people in China who are experiencing Mao Zedong-like persecution. What's next for America? I like to think not, but there's no reason to believe not. Might I encourage you to get on it? Let me give you. We're here to help at Wretched. Not only are we a finally produced program, we're here to help. Go to wretched.org/toe and get, say, 50 copies of Don't Stub Your Toe. It's bulk pricing. We made them as cheap as possible. And give away that gospel booklet for the kids who come to your door. Wretched.org/toe. Wretched.org/toe. And get as many copies as you can and give away the... I know it's scary. I get it. But this isn't even going out to distribute literature. This isn't going out even to evangelize. They're coming to you. Trick or treat or toes. Give them something good to eat and give them something that's even better for their souls. And might I add, whilst we are still allowed to, wretched.org/toe. Hurry so you can get them in time for Reformation Day. This is Wretched Radio.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Joey, why did you play that opener? Because now we're just going to have to sit here and wait until Tony stops weeping. This is Wretched Radio. Hey. Kind of perked up your ears on the Martin Luther thing, eh?
You only missed it by a little bit.
Have you been to Germany yet, Mr. Perkinis? You should go. Just don't go to Wittenberg. I'm warning you, it's not the thing
that you're desiring.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, that one train heads east, the other one heads west. That's the difference between Wittenberg and Wittenberg. Hey, speaking of the Reformation, it's coming up, lickety-split, don't you know? And there's going to be a couple of things that you may be interested in. Number one, we're going to spend a lot of time on Wretched TV and maybe here on the radio program. Oh, this is so cool. Steve Lawson's presentation on the Marian Martyrs. Oh, man. It is so outstanding. There's a lot of unsung heroes of the Protestant Reformation. 280-some Marian martyrs slain in nasty ways by Roman Catholic Bloody Mary. Not a nice woman at all. So we're going to be celebrating the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I think it's going to be excellent. Second thing, as long as we're talking about Reformation, maybe, I don't know where you stand on the whole Halloween business, that you think it's Satan's holiday, you think that it's just fine. Regardless, if the kids come to your door this year, they're going to come. How's about giving them the gospel? It's as cheap as we can do this. Don't Stub Your Toe. It's got a cartoon on the front of it. It's a guy holding his big toe that looks like it got beaten. The kids are going to look at it and go, oh, cool, a cartoon book. And it is a thorough law and gospel presentation. They're going to bring it home. If you could pass them out, that would... Okay, you talk about redeeming the holiday, if such a thing were possible. At least that's taking advantage of it. You don't even need to go out. They come to you. Trick or treat. Give them the best treat there is, the gospel. Wretched.org/toe, wretched.org/toe. And by the way, you might want to do it while it's still legal, because I wouldn't be shocked if the government starts regulations of what we can hand out to the kids and what we can't. I'm not kidding. If we don't think this government is going to impose rules, here's kind of a case in point. Children forced to write gay love letter in England. There's a video of this. It's a class at Busey, B-E-W-S-E-Y. Sorry if I'm saying that wrongly. Busey Lodge Primary School. Students were asked by their teacher to imagine themselves as Prince Henry writing a letter to his male servant Thomas asking for his hand in marriage. Wonder how Henry feels about that. The teacher told the BBC the children are, quote, going to go out into the world and find this diversity around them, and they'll find that at a young age as well. And the more they can be accepting, worldview indoctrination statement, you're not going to face it further on, because the children will be accepting now. and will be accepting the diversity around them. Ill-defined
terms.
It's easier to
indoctrinate when they're younger.
Oh, but it's just so ill-defined. What are you talking about? If you're talking, they conflate things all the time. See, this I think this was a story from yesterday. The conflation of things. It was from that Scotland, the police putting up signs. Dear bigots, don't be hateful. Bigots, homophobes. Be loving like us. Yours truly, the Scottish police. And inside of that poster, these are posters printed by the government of Scotland telling people to watch their mouths or we will arrest you. They conflated things like, you know, being mean, not accepting, being violent, pushing somebody, hurting somebody's feelings, punching somebody in the face, saying things that people don't agree. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't lump all of those together. They're separate things. Of course we Christians are going to agree that you don't hurt people. We are the don't hurt people. That's what we... Remember, turn the other cheek. That's who we are. Yes, war. I get all of that. We're not Mennonites and Quakers that don't go marching off to war. But we don't hurt people. Nobody is for that. But being able to say something that supposedly triggers somebody. You talk about an unmanageable principle. Speech, hate speech that triggers somebody. So any sort of aggressive speech that makes somebody feel bad, we better all zip it forever. Because these days, because accusations stick, whether there's truth behind them or not, all somebody needs to do is say, you know what you just said? It triggered me. Uh-oh, hate speech. You're done. It's just unmanageable. It's just not, you can't organize this system. We speak lovingly to people, truthfully. There's our guideline. It's biblical. Handles the whole mess. Instead, you've got a secular government trying to figure out, okay, how do we make all of this work now that we don't have any guidelines that are loftier than ours, that have higher principles? And that is why I think we're seeing the mess that we are seeing. By the way, as an aside, speaking of the accusation business, I'm starting to see some more articles of something that I talked about just a little bit because I realized the sensitivity of this, which is precisely my point. This one author was saying, I didn't like the phrasing, but we've got to stop believing women. Okay, I'm just telling you what the article said. Stop believing women. Instead, it's innocent till proven guilty. Okay, I get the point. I don't think it was phrased well. These days, everybody's saying we've got to believe women. I think that's sloppy language. I think we've got to take women seriously. That's what we do. And then investigate. That's the process. So, again, I think it's a sloppy language. We don't want to be jerks about this. I think that's part of the problem with this whole Kavanaugh business is that everybody's seeing it and going, oh, you just people sound mean because you're defending the guy and it means you don't care about the women. So I think we need to be mindful about that, be sensitive about that. But I don't think that we should be saying we believe you any more than if let's just say a woman said, I believe that this fellow did this to me. She's making an accusation. And you responded by saying, well, I believe the man. What? Well, wait a second. I just told you. Exactly. We don't believe him. We don't believe her. We take it very seriously, and then we get to work figuring it out as best we can. 1-877-282-BEEP.
My children's Christian school, private school, is partnering up with the local Catholic school for nothing really beyond sports teams, cheerleading, things like that, due to numbers of children that are lacking in those particular areas of school. Really, I'm looking for a gospel-based, loving yet stern way to address this issue with the powers that be on both sides.
Let me try to get to that, but first, let me begin with what I think is making this a difficult issue, and that is the belief of the necessity of sports. We've all got this. We all have pre-understandings about issues. I think there's a pre-sup built into this one, and that is kids have got to play sports. Kids have got to be in organized sporting teams. No, actually, they don't. So let's start there. Sports teams, do they have value if done rightly, if done Christianly? Absolutely. Teamwork, not receiving the glory for yourself, thanking team members, being generous, giving away. All of those things can be learned. Good sportsmanship, very fine stuff, but it's not necessary. Organized sports, relatively recent invention for schools. So it's not something that has to happen. So I want to start there. Then I want to take a look at the issue of ecumenism. What does the Bible say about this? I believe the general principle, again, this is not the direct principle, but the general principle from 2 Jude 9, 8 and 9, I believe, is that you don't do anything that would give the appearance of partnering with false teaching. Don't do anything. Don't let them in. Don't do events. Don't get on a platform, even if it's for something good like the life issue. Don't give people the impression that you're saying, yeah, I agree with these people. So now the question is, knowing that sports are not a necessity mandated by the Bible or anything else for that matter, except the government more and more, what do we do with the ecumenism? Does this commit that sin? Are you crossing the line by having your Christian, let's say evangelical school, somehow in cahoots, whatever that looks like? Is it giving people the impression, oh, look it, they believe basically the same thing? If that's the case, then absolutely not. And if I had to say where I would stand without being in the situation, that's the side that I would fall on.
Hey, Mr. Frio, I'm not some weirdo liberal hippy-dippy guy, but the other day my dog was sick and I prayed for him, and I thought, I can't think of any time in the Bible where anyone prayed over an animal, and my dog is not an image bearer. But I also know that God cares about me and my concerns, and so if my dog is sick, is it weird or wrong or satanic or cultic to pray over him? I don't know. Give me some wisdom.
God gives us the desires of our heart, and if it's not sinful praying in Jesus' name, his answer may be no, but it may also be yes. Just because the Bible doesn't have a story about a particular prayer, we pray for all things. We pray without ceasing. And if it's your pooch that you care about, now, if your dog is an idol, repent of that. But short of that, of course it's okay to pray for those. We can lay all of our burdens at his feet because he's a sympathetic high priest who cares for you. I hope your pooch got better. This is Wretched Radio. And now, one more reason to support preborn.org/wretched. You will be saving somebody from a lot of heartache.
I'm the father of five, but only got to raise three of them.
There are so many people who have those regrets. You could stop those regrets by providing a free ultrasound to a mommy who is considering putting an end to the life of her own child. And most of the time, and it is most of the time, at the behest of a boyfriend, husband, or father. You could put an end to that. Preborn.org/wretched. $28 provides an ultrasound. The gospel is preached to mommy. The gospel is preached to daddy, which puts an end to the cycle of, oops, pregnant abortion. Would you please consider ending the heartache and tragedy of abortion at preborn.org/wretched?
Herman Hu might be the single best resource Wretched has ever produced. And we say that about every resource we produce? Well, yes, but this time we really, really mean it. 12 lessons on biblical hermeneutics taught by Todd Friel? Friel?
Biblical hermeneutics is the difference between truth, lies, life, death, heaven, and hell. Biblical hermeneutics is an urgent study that every Christian should embark on.
You will never read the Bible the same way again. Great for Sunday school, too. A student and teacher workbook are included, and you can make as many copies as you want. In other words, Herman Hu will not only help you rightly divide the word of truth, but it's a great deal. To get your copy of Herman Hu, go to wretched.org/Herman. Wretched.org/Herman. Wretched. Amazing grace.
And now another incredible story from our buddy Michael Woolworth at Bible League International.
Woman by the name of Lally was the village witch doctor in Madagascar, Africa, right? She had misled many through the use of witchcraft. I can tell you she came through Bible League's discipleship program, made a profession of faith in Christ, was baptized. She got a Bible in the Malagasy language. She read the account of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Lally was intrigued by this. She went to dozens of families that she misled through witchcraft over the years, and she pleaded with them to follow Jesus. And Todd, today about 250 people have come to place their faith in Jesus Christ.
One Bible, $5, that result. How many Bibles might you be able to send overseas to believers? You can do it efficiently at Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is prophecy. Prophetic books record God's warnings to Israel and other nations of the consequences of continued rebellion against Him and the blessings waiting those who trust Him for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To my surprise, there are a fair number of people who don't know Alistair Begg. And that is a shame.
And listen, folks, until we have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the whole point of the gospel, that Jesus comes and lives in us. I've given you the illustration before. Show me a Shakespeare play and tell me to write it. Write one just like that. I can't do it. Show me a painting by Van Gogh and ask me to paint a painting like that, and I can't do it. Show me a life like the life of Jesus and ask me to live a life like that, and I can't do it. But if the genius of Van Gogh could come and live in me, I could paint that kind of picture. If the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write that kind of play. And if the reality of Jesus can come and live in me, then I can live that kind of life. That's the gospel, you see. And everything else is a call to externalism. Well, come on now, have a good week. Try and be a kind person this week. Do your best this week. Shape up. Stop swearing in your car. Stop getting aggravated at other drivers. Try and be nicer to your wife. Give yourself a shake. Pull your socks up. Spend more time with your kids. Da, 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 da. The guy's going, you know what? I don't even know if I want to. And even if I wanted to, I don't even know if I can. That's not Christianity. That's moralism. That's externalism. Christianity is, you're in deep trouble. Jesus died to get you out of the deep trouble, but unless you admit you're in deep trouble, you ain't never getting out of it. So first you got to admit it. But I want good news. Sorry, there ain't no good news without bad news first. Well, I don't want to listen to it. Fine, see you around. Next, there's bad news, then there's good news. You ready for the bad news? Yes. Okay, here it is. Oh, I understand. And what's happening in pulpits all across this city this morning on rally day and come to church day and this next day, people are being called to a lifestyle without any life. And it is the worst possible thing I can imagine to do Christian stuff without knowing why or how. To be involved in externalism, moralism, and just doing stuff. I have no interest in doing stuff. All the stuff I want to do by nature is bad stuff. Believe me. And unless someone came and changed the mechanism inside of me, I'd be doing all that bad stuff. And as it is, I still do some of it. So the identity is key to the activity. To be called to activity without an identity is to live in externalism, which is bogus and worthless and facile and empty and trivial and irrelevant. And the world looks on and says, I want none of it. And frankly, I couldn't agree more.
Alistair Begg, heard on radio stations around the country. They archive all of their sermons at his ministry. Just look up Guy with an Accent Who Sounds Smarter Than the Rest of Us, and you will find... Is he Scottish? Is that Alistair Begg? Scottish? Is that near Welsh?
I'm sorry, Welsh? You mean Wales?
No, it says Welsh evangelicals reject move towards gay marriage. So it's Welsh land. Is he from there by any chance?
The Welsh are from Wales, which is south and west of Scotland.
Well, I think you're confusing this with the Book of Jonah. Let's carry on. Remember, the talk show host is always right. What did Luther say? What did Calvin say? What did all the reformers say in varying forms? The hinge on which Christianity swings is the distinction between law and gospel. Now, there have been some other theologies that have been used to be the hinge for Christianity. There are many. Justification, that's a hinge. But this distinction between law and gospel, if we're not careful, we will fall into one side or the other. You can fall into hyper-grace mode. It's all about the gospel. It's gospel yummy. Love the gospel so much. Sin? Well, we don't use those words here. Besides, Jesus died for sinners. Isn't that yummy? We love the gospel. Gospel yummy. I think that's been trademarked already. On the other side, you've got legalism. You've got the do, 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 behave, behave, behave. This is very easy to instill into our children, especially when they're young. Just do it. Clean up your room. Get on it. No explanation of why. Talk about that in Reset for Parents, available at wretched.org. Reset for Parents at wretched.org. Headline from str.org. One of the most helpful articles I've seen in a long time. Actually, there's a fair amount of these. This happens to be one of them. If we lose the meaning of justice, we lose the gospel. This was written at str.org. Giving your money to the poor is not justice, it's mercy. Taking other people's money by force, government or any other means, and giving it to the poor is neither justice nor mercy. It's injustice. It's taking what someone else has earned against his will for yourself or for others. That is why the Founding Fathers, I believe, were opposed to the idea of socialism. Taking from rich people to give to the poor. Incremental taxes, by the way, that's socialist in nature. Bible, everybody paid the same amount, about 23.5%. And then you give to God what you want to, according to the Old Testament. Justice is the very opposite of making sure that everybody has the same. This is so ludicrous. God is okay with privilege and lack there. Everybody has some sort of privilege. Everybody really does. Your intelligence, you got more smarts than your sibling. Well, I know I did. You are maybe better looking than your siblings. Like, you know, So the point is, we have all got some sort of advantage, and God is okay with that. He gives that to us. Now, the problem is when we love it, when we desire it, when we live for it, that's a sin. James talks about that in James 5, 1 through 6. Heard a great sermon on that on Sunday, too. That the pursuit of these riches, that's the key. It's the love of money, not money itself. It's the love of money. And there are some people who love money so much that they're willing to say, forget justice. Forget doing right by people. Take it from them and give to others. Back to the article at STR. Justice is receiving what you have earned or what you are owed by right, whether good or bad. Receiving the money you have earned is justice. Taking what someone else has earned is injustice. Giving is something different altogether. Here's the distinction between social justice and Christian charity. One is coerced, the other's voluntary. Does one of those sound more biblical than the other? I think so. When you give, you're not giving a person what he has earned. You're graciously showing mercy out of love. To say that giving is a matter of justice is to create a false sense in our culture that one is entitled to another person's grace. That rich people who earned their money lawfully owe money to the poor, and that it's a matter of justice. Now, what's the problem with that? It confuses the gospel. It makes the gospel something else besides grace. As the meaning of justice has changed in our culture, this presumption on God's grace increases. It's not fair God saves some by grace and not others. Justice demands that he save everyone equally. Well, that's so debunkable. Please tuck this one into your quiver that you can pull out when you are, no, your quiver, the quiver would be the, arrows in the, yeah, put it in your quiver. I'm sorry, I'm getting my archery terminology a little bit confused. The point is, if Bill Gates went to a shopping mall and gave 10 people $1 million, nobody would say, he has to give $1 million to everybody in every mall or he's not just. God doesn't have to do anything for anyone. Anything that he does that is kind is simply benevolence. Justice demands he saves everyone is the battle cry that we heard at UGA, if you recall. We'll be playing some of that for you another day.
Why didn't God save everybody?
Why does God save anybody? The more the line, back to SDR, the more the line between justice and grace is blurred, the more difficulty people will have understanding both what they deserve according to their sin and the undeserved grace of God. Language is important. We can't explain either of these concepts if our culture has lost the true meaning of justice. They don't understand that justice is God's laws being applied and people getting what they've earned. Grace says you can get what you don't deserve. You can have unmerited favor. And if we blur the definition of justice, we blur the definition of the gospel. If we don't have a distinct word to describe receiving what we have earned, justice, then we don't have any concept of grace. We'll be losing the meaning of grace. Since we can't comprehend that it's amazing indeed. If receiving from God what is not earned is considered to be a matter of justice. Words have meanings. Very, very important. It's very easy to confuse the gospel. It's easy to blur the gospel. Justice and gospel, they work hand in hand, yet another hinge on which salvation swings. If we do not keep the definition of what true biblical, not social, what true biblical justice is, guess what? We're going to have a harder time explaining the gospel. How ironic. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.